Space, the final frontier. This is the Observer's Notebook, the official podcast of the Association of Lunar and Planetary Observers. Its mission to explore the solar system, to seek out new observations and data, to boldly go where no podcast has gone before. And now the host of the Observer's Notebook, Tim Robertson.
Hello and welcome to episode 185 of the Observer's Notebook, the official podcast of the Association of Lunar and Planetary Observers. My name is Tim Robertson. I'm the host of the podcast and also the coordinator of the training program within the ALPO. Thank you for downloading and listening. The Association of Lunar and Planetary Observers collects and analyzes observations of various solar system bodies and associated phenomena, and publishes detailed reports concerning these bodies in its quarterly publication, the Journal of the Association of Lunar and Planetary Observers. This podcast depends upon donations from you, our listeners, to keep it going. If you enjoy what you hear on the podcast, you can donate to it via Patreon by giving as little as $1 a month. If you feel even more generous, for $5, you receive early access to the podcast before it goes public. For a monthly donation of $10, you receive a copy of the Novice Observer's Handbook. And for $35 a month, you receive producer credits on the podcast. You can find out more by going to www.patreon.com/observersnotebook. If you'd like to join the ALPO, membership begins at only $22 a year. Find out more at www.alpo-astronomy.org. And you can also find us on Facebook. Just search for ALPO Astronomy. And this podcast also has a Facebook page as well. Just search for Observer's Notebook. And if you enjoy what you hear in the podcast, please subscribe. That way you'll never miss another episode. And now, episode 185 with Bob Lunsford. We're talking springtime meteor showers. Enjoy. All right, I'd like to welcome everybody back to this edition of the Observer's Notebook. And we're talking meteor showers, and that, of course, means we're talking to Bob Lunsford. Welcome back, Bob.
Thank you, Tim. It's good to be back. Well, it's springtime, and that means the winter doldrums of low meteor activity are over, at least temporarily. In April, we have the Lyrids peaking on the night of April 21st, 22nd. And unfortunately, we have a full moon on the 23rd. So it's fun if you want to howl at the moon, but you won't be seeing many meteors.
Okay.
The lunar glare is just brutal.
Right.
And it'll obscure, I would say, at least 75% of all Lyrids that are going to be produced that night. So, you can watch them if it's clear, and if it's even transparent, you might even see a few. But if you see more than five an hour, you're doing great.
Okay. Are you going to be out there?
I doubt it. Okay. You know what? I've got a video camera system going, and I just might let that record.
Okay. Sounds good.
And see what it gets. Nothing extraordinary is expected to happen.
Okay.
And, you know, it. If you're really, really, really bored, sure, give it a try. You will see some activity. Just be sure and put the moon at your back,
right?
You know, face toward the, you know, whatever direction. The moon will be in the south most of the time, at least for folks in the northern hemisphere. So face toward the north. The radiant rises about 10 o'clock. It's best situated almost overhead, right before dawn.
Okay.
So best time to see him is right before dawn. Look toward the north with the moon at your back. And who knows, you might see even a fireball. You never know.
All right. Cool.
So, but last year was a lot better for the Lyras, and I guarantee you next year will be better than 2024.
Fantastic.
Now, I do have some good news, though. Okay. 2 weeks after the peak of the Lyrids, we have the Eta Aquarius, which is known for being produced by Halley's Comet. Now, Halley's Comet actually crosses the Earth. I should say used to cross the Earth's path two times each year. The incoming crosses the orbit in October, and the outgoing happens in May. So the May is the meteors that are coming from around the sun and outgoing from the sun back toward the depths of space. Now, for some reason, we actually pass closer to the meteors from the Eta Aquarius than we do the Orionids. Hmm. So the rates for the Eta Aquarius are usually stronger than the Orionids year to year. And there are even outbursts that happen for the Eta Aquarius. There was supposed to be one last year. Unfortunately, a full moon spoiled it, and no one really reported exceptional rates.
Yeah.
But this year, we have a 10% moon that rises right at the start of astronomical twilight.
Perfect.
So that's going to be good. You have 2 full hours of viewing for most people. At least we do here in Southern California. before it, the moon rises and it starts getting light.
Okay.
Unfortunately, the further north you go, that little window of opportunity shrinks until actually the radiant rises right at the start of astronomical twilight. But don't give up. I've had observers from Canada see these meteors. And if it's going to be an outburst like happened a few times in the past 10, 20 years, it may be exceptional. When I speak of outbursts, these are meteors that have ventured a little too close to Jupiter and get perturbed.
Hmm.
Now, this happens maybe once or twice every 10 to 20 years. The last one, I believe, was in 2014, and that was well documented. Unfortunately, the one in 2009 was occurred with a full moon, so no one really reported that. But these meteors, they get pushed by the gravity of Jupiter into a much shorter orbit, and they come around. And if the Earth happens to intercept them in the month of May, we will see the normal rate of Eta Aquarius plus an added bonus from these meteors that have been perturbed by Jupiter. Now, how many are we going to see? Well, the average zenith hourly rate for the shower is about 40.
Oh, my.
So then that, observing with the perfect sky, which is a limiting magnitude of 6.5, and with the radiant directly overhead. Now, the radiant being directly overhead is a virtual impossibility because the radiant only lies 45 degrees from the sun. So we're not gonna see those kind of rates. Okay. But it does get maybe halfway up in the sky for observers in the southern tropics, and actually not too bad from the lower northern hemisphere, maybe between 20 and 30 degrees is not bad. You'll have 2 full hours to see them. They'll be low in the sky, but that creates long, streaky meteors, which is always fun to see.
Mm-hmm.
So when can you see these? Actually, the Eta Aquarius are active. You start seeing outliers in the middle of April, right around the April 15th.
Okay.
And at that time, you only see maybe one per night. So, it might be just a surprise that you're out there before dawn and say, whoa, that looked like an Eta Aquarius. It might be. And rates slowly increase. Maybe up to 1 an hour by the last week of April. And when we enter May, things really start kicking off. By May 1st, you're probably reaching 5 per hour. And the maximum is expected on Cinco de Mayo this year, May 5th.
So don't drink too much.
You'll be seeing a lot of meteors. Yeah.
Take it easy on the margaritas.
Yeah, there you go. But this shower is like the Orionids, where it doesn't have a very sharp peak. The nights of anywhere from Friday, May 3rd through Tuesday, May 7th can produce really good rates of in excess of 20 per hour. And I'm speaking from the Northern Hemisphere on that. Okay. If you're down south where there's more darkness at in May, the reading can get a little higher, and you may push it up 40 or 50 an hour. So we look for good things from these meteors this year.
Great.
Now, being that the radiant is near the water jar in Aquarius, that part of the sky rises at roughly 2:30 in the morning for most folks. And that's daylight savings time, which we're going to be on at that time. So 2:30 in the morning. And actually, that if you get up at 2, you may see some earth grazers with the radiant lying slightly below the horizon. I remember seeing this when the Lenas were having a storm. The radiant could lie as much as 7 degrees below the horizon. And I was seeing Lena shoot across the sky, 100 degrees long, just insane.
Oh, my goodness.
So, I remember those fond memories. Anyway, that's a possibility for these meteors if they decide to show up and produce a good show.
Good.
So I'm going to be out at 2 o'clock.
Okay.
And I'm going to observe right into astronomical twilight until I probably can't see stars of fifth magnitude, which is probably a quarter to 5 or maybe even a little closer to 5 o'clock. Okay. So I want to get as much observing in as possible during this possibility.
Okay.
The Eta Aquarius are striking the Earth from a head-on position. So these guys are fast. Oh. I mean, they look like darts up there. Very few of them last more than a second. They're very fast. A lot of the brighter ones produce persistent trains, which are like smoke trails after the meteor has disappeared.
Oh,
and those are always cool.
All right, cool.
So we got something to look forward to in May.
All right.
So be sure to circle that weekend of May 4th/5th on your calendar.
All right. I will do that.
Golly, hope for clear skies. Now, I'm going to be zipping up the mountains because that's notorious time for May gray around here,
where
the fog rolls in every night. And my altitude here just isn't high enough to get above that most nights. So luckily, I have a 5,000-foot mountain just a half hour away,
perfect.
So I can zip up there and get above that crud. And that layer of fog tends to subdue some of the light pollution, too.
Yeah, that's good.
So that certainly helps.
Great.
So be sure and get yourself a location that is as dark as possible, because the more stars you see, the more meteors you see.
All right. Sounds good.
And face toward the east, because the meteors will be shooting upward from the eastern horizon. Some of the earth grazers may actually skirt the southern and northern horizons, going parallel almost. So those are always interesting. And you can actually see these meteors in any part of the sky, but since the radiant will be below halfway up in the east, it'd be best to aim toward the eastern half of the sky.
Okay.
If it's cloudy that weekend, by golly, don't hesitate to try it on the 6th and 7th. By that time, the moon will be toward new. Won't be a problem. You won't have any moonlight at all. And you'll be seeing good rakes all that week of May 6th.
Okay.
So, and actually, the Eta Aquarius last most of the month of May, finally giving out right about the last by Memorial Day, which is the 26th this year.
Okay. Now, for our newer listeners that might not have heard you before on the podcast, what type of observations are you looking for the meteor section?
Well, most of us are out there with our eyes and looking for visual. Mm-hmm. I like to bring out a recorder that I don't need to fumble with a pen and pencil in the middle of the night.
Mm-hmm.
And what I do is record the data that I want to, such as the time, the brightness, the velocity, the duration. I even, if I can, record the length and the distance it was from the center of my field, which tell us how accurate this data could be.
Now, when you say velocity, what do you mean by that? How do you
velocity that? Is the we gauge it in degrees per second.
Okay.
Now, that's kind of hard to judge. Mm-hmm. Actually, you can get a good grasp of it, but I always like to work with numbers. So I think it's possible to gauge the duration of meteors in 2/10 of a second. So I either say 2, 4, 6, 8, or 1 full second. Now, on meteors that are 0.2 and 0.4, you can't not actually see the meteoroid. It's just a flash. Mm-hmm. At 0.6, you can. And at 0.8, it's obvious.
Right.
And anything above that, you know, it's like, wow, it lasts a long time.
But most now, of these are going to be short ones, right? You're saying?
Yes, yes. Okay. So most of your eight aquariids are only going to last maybe 0.4 to 0.6 of a second. And most meteors are also short. So what we expect, what I do is also record the length, which is usually in the area of 5 to 10 degrees. Okay. Now, if you're out early at 2 o'clock, you may get some that are very, very long. And those are going to last like 3 or 4 seconds. So the fastest you're ever going to see is a meteor moving about 30 degrees a second. Oof. Most of them, like I said, are between 5 and 10.
Okay.
So the folks in the IMO should suggest extending a meteor in your mind for a second. Well, I have a hard time visualizing that. I would rather deal with hard figures. Okay. So what I do is if I see a meteor that goes 10 degrees in 1 second, then the angular velocity is 10 degrees.
Okay.
So, and, you know, and so forth. So I figure all that out later.
Right. And, so you said you recorded, like the cell phones have recorders on them.
So yeah, you can use a cell phone, or I actually got my birthday a really small. I used to have a Radio Shack when I was huge, cassette tapes.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, and those are good, except when it's cold. They tend to freeze up.
Oh,
and okay. You don't find out unless you check your recordings like once an hour.
Nah,
and
true.
I end up losing a couple hours of data with that one.
Oh, that's not fun.
So, no. So I've graduated from that to a small one. And yes, you can use your cell phone. And there are guys working on programs where you don't have to actually touch your cell phone. You can set it up to record your voice, and then that will take all the recordings that you recorded on your cell phone and put it onto a report form, believe it or not.
No, really?
Yeah. Now, I have not tried that yet, but by golly, I'm really interested in that.
So there's somebody out there that's actually developed this?
Yes, yes. Oh, and okay. There's an observer I know in Texas that's actually using this. So okay. he says it's great. It doesn't need to pull his hands out, you know, out of the sleeping bag or anything.
Oh, my.
And so that would be great for.
Well, if you can get me the information on that, I will add it to the show notes of this podcast.
Okay. Okay. Now, another way, I also used to plot meteors on charts. You know, you see a meteor and you actually see where it went, and then you take that and plot it on a star chart.
Uh-huh.
And then you can go in, in the afternoon when after you cut up on your sleep, and then you can look at your plots and see if it came from the Eta Aquarii region or something else, or you know, okay, even a minor shower. Now, there's not many folks that do that anymore, and I'm one of them because I have purchased a camera system that has 7 cameras, 6 that scan each direction, and 1 all-sky camera overhead. Now, what I do is I like to compare the meteors that I see versus the ones that are recorded by this camera system. And luckily, I'm getting all kinds of time and duration on the data by software that goes with this camera system. Mm-hmm. So it's very cool to see, and compare your magnitude versus what they get and their duration, what you get. So I really don't need to plot all my meteors now because I have a video and a photographic record of the brighter meteors.
That's now, great.
Now your eye can see fainter than these little cameras, but these are tiny little you know security cameras. So, but it does a great job. So it's always fun to compare what you see there, and you know, and it's you, besides plotting, you're losing time with your eyes off the sky.
That's true. So, yeah, you put your eyes down to draw the line on the chart.
And right. You're missing one or two. That's very true.
Now, is this a system that you put together, or is it a kit? Or
you know what is? It's called an All Sky 7 system, and it's available two ways. It's cheaper if you put it all together yourself. Mm-hmm. Probably cost about $500.
Okay,
if you can buy a dome with the 7 cameras in it, plus the mini computer, and that'll set you back about $1,200.
Okay.
So that's
well. If you're serious in the meter observing, that's not right. That big of an investment.
No, that's for sure. And you know, there are some nights where you don't feel like getting out of bed. Mm-hmm. And so, but this system I have has recorded so many fireballs that I would have missed, and so many exciting things. You know, satellite reentries and stuff mm-hmm. like that. It's great. Even lightning. I had a great video of a lightning storm one time.
Oh my.
So it's really, really, really great. So if you're into that, yeah, look into the All Sky system. There are other cameras too. The Global Meteor Network, you purchase just one camera and set it up and contribute it to their network. That's still going to set you back $500 if you want to buy it totally built. Or there's also something set up by Peter Jenniskens called CAMS, which is Cameras for All Sky Meteor Surveillance. That's another one like one I have. It has a whole barrage of cameras that face in every direction. And unfortunately, the data on that goes directly to NASA Ames, and Peter wants to look at it first before releasing it.
No,
one
really.
Good thing about the system I have is I have the data right in front of me.
It's yours.
Yeah. So, but besides having a video and a you know, a photograph of the meteors you see, if you have others that have these same cameras nearby, such as the All Skies guys do. There's a group of us in Southern California. There's a lot of them over in Southern Arizona and scattered throughout the U.S. And the people in Germany have taken this camera to heart. And most of Northern Europe is just saturated with these cameras. Nothing gets by them. Huh. In fact, there was a meteor that was actually discovered in space before it entered the atmosphere. It's about 1 meter in length. It was discovered in Hungary. He got on and warned everybody that in 3 hours there's going to be a fireball occurring over Germany. Uh-huh. And by golly, it happened. The cameras that they used recorded this, and from that, they were able to figure out the trajectory, the radiant, the altitude, and even the orbit of this particular fireball. And most of all, the almost the exact spot where it landed on the ground.
Ugh.
So it only took people a few hours to locate remnants of this particular fireball. So that's just crazy science, I tell you.
Huh. Wow.
So you know, if you're serious into video meteor observing, just don't keep it to yourself. Join a group that uses these, so they can they need to have at least three cameras separated by about 50 miles each at least, so they can triangulate this information.
Of course.
But there's so much information that can be gleaned from this. It's just incredible.
And that type of instrument you run every single night of the year.
Oh, yeah.
You don't need to man it.
Nope. Rain or shine. I just hop on my computer in the morning and see what I got.
Wow. That's very cool. I'll have to look into that.
It is very cool.
I don't have the darkest skies where I live, but it sounds pretty interesting.
Yeah. Well, my skies are ranged between 5, 5, and 6 at best. Okay. And I get most of the fourth magnitude meteors that are produced.
Okay.
And the fireballs are very cool too. So
yeah, that's cool.
I want to there's one website I want to have you place on the podcast for this one.
Okay.
That will show the orbits of the meteors.
All right.
The Halley's Comet. You're going to be amazed because you think it's like a railroad. They're all on the same track, but when Jupiter interferes and on other planets, it is a mishmash of orbits that is incredible. Now, most of them end up following the main orbit of Halley out past Uranus and almost to Neptune, then come back. But the ones that have been perturbed by Jupiter, they'll actually only go out as far as Jupiter and then come back. So we're looking at maybe a 12-year orbit for those versus Halley's 76-year orbit. So, but if you look at this this diagram, which actually each one of these meteors out in space has been captured by a video recorder, and the orbit is accurate. So each one of those, there's hundreds of them.
Wow,
you're gonna like this. So
what's that website?
It's NASA CAMS, NASA Ames / CAMS. I will send it to you, and we'll make it available. I don't have it right in front of me right now, but it's very cool. And the link will be for the 8 Aquarius, but it gives you a choice to look at every meteor shower. So there'll be some that only have a trickle, and there'll be some like the Geminids and the Perseids where it's just a river.
Wow!
But
what is
fascinating is to see all these meteorites in space going here and there, and it just looks crazy.
I'll have to check that out. Yeah, send that to me.
I'll definitely do that.
All right, cool.
Now we'll have to get together after this one for the Perseids. To be honest, June and July are going to be slow. The Delta Aquarius are going to have a full moon to contend with.
Mm-hmm.
But we need to get together again for the Perseids as we have a first quarter moon, and it'll be gone by the time they start roaring.
Oh, perfect. Sounds good. We'll get together then.
Well, okay, Bob, sounds good.
Once again, this is great to have you on the podcast.
My pleasure.
All right. Thanks a lot, man.
Okay. Bye.
Well, that'll do it for this episode of the Observer's Notebook Podcast. I again want to thank our meteor shower expert, Bob Lunsford, for coming to the podcast today. Get out there and observe the meteor showers. We upload a new episode of the Observer's Notebook on the 1st and 15th of every month. You can subscribe to us on iTunes. If you do, please rate and review us. You're also available on our YouTube channel, the ALPO YouTube channel. You can subscribe there if you'd like to. You can also listen to us on Apple Radio, iHeartRadio, SoundCloud, Spreaker, Google Play, Stitcher, and Amazon Echo. You can help support the podcast by donating to it via Patreon, where you can start by giving us as little as $1 a month. If you give us $35 a month, you receive 1 year's membership to the ALPO and producer credits on the podcast. And with that, I want to thank the two producers of this podcast, Steve Seedentop and Michael Moyer, for their continuous, generous support. Thank you very much, gentlemen. The link for Patreon, the link for the ALPO, is also in the show notes. If you'd like to get a hold of me, my email address is cometman@cometman.net or on Twitter, or X, at
Observers NB Pod. And until next time, I hope you always have clear and steady skies. Thanks for listening.